Good afternoon. My name is Linda Martinez. It's a pleasure to be here with you this afternoon. I'm going to talk a little bit about how we can begin to assess readiness of communities for mobilization in terms of thinking of the best ways to partner with communities for mobilizing, whether you're an academic institution, an outside community group or organization. So where the best ways to kind of assess where a community's at and to inform your partnership. I was going to start with my disclosure statement that I was so worried about getting in, I re-uploaded my slides, but I realized that no one else had a disclosure statement. So I have nothing to disclose. There are no personal, financial, anything like that. So that being said, Elmer mentioned that I am part of Critical Mass Coalition, and Critical Mass is a statewide coalition that's focused on eliminating racial and ethnic disparities. And it's a public-private partnership that was born out of a New England regional conference on minority health, where stakeholders in Massachusetts came together and said, if we're really going to make change in Massachusetts around health disparities, we need to start really increasing our conversations. We need to be on the same page. We need to be partnering. We need to be putting the word out about resources that are available, events that are coming up, so that we're sharing information instead of competing against one another for the same grants, which we often have to do, but the more we can kind of work together, the more we get done. So the mission of Critical Mass is to be a catalyst for mobilization for sustainable statewide efforts. And Elmer had asked Flavia Perea and I, a colleague of mine, to kind of think about, as Critical Mass piloted their toolkit, which Roxanne will speak about, how they could assess community readiness for mobilizations and how they could think about partnering with communities around health disparities. Okay, so what we did was when we first started, we said, well, you know, what's been done with regard to readiness? What are folks doing? We found that around substance abuse, there was a lot being done around community readiness, so we kind of thought about the lessons that could be learned for disparities mobilization, because a lot of times what happens is we work within our own disciplines. There are great things happening across disciplines, and so we reinvent the wheel, or we work so hard when things are already out there. So we said, well, what's been done, and how can we build? So within substance abuse, the Southwest Center for Applied Prevention Technologies proposed that, you know, identifying community issues, defining community, conducting key respondent interviews, and we liked the model, so we began to think about how we would adapt it for health disparities. And one of the things that we found most interesting was the whole identifying the issue, because I have a way that I define health, and you have a way that you define health, and they might not be the same. They might be different. How I see health and how I see my health being determined might not be the same as you. Just like how I view disparities within my community might not be how you view disparities. And so that kind of working with communities to identify the issue was important for us. So, and then from there, we kind of used the Prochaska and DiClemente model of the stages of change, which was an individual model of change, which was also applied in substance abuse work to the community. And we kind of collapsed these 9 stages into 3 phases so that we could think about conceptualizing disparities. And we thought phase 1 would be where, you know, communities, they don't talk about health disparities. Community leaders, they're not really aware of problems that are happening within communities, or if they are aware, they don't want to talk about problems that are happening within communities. And so we saw an outside organization, the most important piece here would be to kind of begin to help create awareness. So if there's a local community leader, to kind of supply them with data, to provide them with technical assistance, support, help them identify additional community stakeholders to partner with, and identify both internal resources to the community and external resources to the community to build on. And then in phase 2, would be where communities might already be beginning. There might be a number of disparities efforts within communities. There might be talks underway. People might be applying for grants, but the efforts still might be a bit fragmented where there's not that partnership across the community or information isn't shared across the community. So there's no real mechanism for communication between groups or organizations, but they are in the process of moving forward. So here we thought an organization such as Critical Mass or perhaps even a university partner might think about how you can bring groups together, how you can facilitate communication, how you can begin to catalyze communication across organizations, and still find helping communities to identify funding streams, to identify additional outside resources or outside partners to support their work as well. And then the final stage, stage three, might be where all of those things are happening. Communities are partnering across sectors, whether it be government, whether it be university, nonprofits, healthcare, social services. But how do we kind of begin to replicate that? How do we get the message out about what they're doing and best practices that have worked for them to other geographic locations within the state? How can we say what's happening in Boston, which is wonderful, how can we kind of replicate that model and apply it to another part of the state? So it's kind of creating partnerships across geographic boundaries, because here we think about communities when we thought about it, we're both population and place-based, right? So we could be in one region of the state but working within one ethnic community. So. Yeah. So how did we apply it? How do we pilot it? How did we kind of see whether or not this readiness model would work for critical mass? We worked with a community that had approached critical mass in the western part of the state. They were doing all kinds of things around health disparities within individual organizations, and some of the leaders had said, you know, can you come and speak at one of our conferences? We want to do a conference on health disparities. We want to get the word out so the physicians are more aware. And critical mass said, sure, and they went out and they started to build a relationship, but then they wanted to do more. So how do we go? How might we pilot our toolkit within this community? Where is this community really at beyond these leaders? And so we took that initial model and we began to think about, okay, so how will we implement this readiness assessment within the community? One, community stakeholder interviews. Okay, so we interview the interview the initial stakeholders, and then we use a snowball sample where we ask people, well, who else might we talk to? And we use it across sectors. And the nice thing about that sampling methodology for work such as this is it allows us to really penetrate within the community, because there are always leaders, the same leaders that we're always tapping into. They're always out there. We read about them. We partner with them. But then there are other leaders that might be deeper within the community that might not be getting all the national attention or the statewide attention, but they're doing really great work, and they're pulling people together, and they're leaders within their communities. And the snowball sample kind of allowed us to kind of say, well, who else is doing this work, and who else might we talk to? And so we started streams within government, we started streams within healthcare and within social service agencies to allow us to kind of hear more of what was happening. And we kept going with the interviews until we reached saturation. Additionally, with regards to the methodology, some of the initial work around readiness had really used more of a quantitative methodology, which is nice, but I think also what was touched upon is this qualitative piece. We need to hear the stories, because part of what we want to do is to build relationships, right? We don't want to just come in, collect data. We want to come in, we want to listen, we want to think about the best ways we can form a partnership. And so the qualitative interview guide really allowed us to do that. It allowed us to kind of sit with folks, sometimes for an hour, sometimes for 2 hours, and hear what was happening within the community, and to begin to understand some of that beyond just the data of these are the health outcomes for the community. You know, what is health for the community? What are the issues? You know, what's the historical context of the community? How does the history of the community, whether it's with regards to migration or industry, impact the current socio-political climate of the community and the social context within the community? We could understand the relationships. We could understand the role that discrimination played, marginalization, and we could kind of begin to get a greater picture of the community beyond just what are the health outcomes. So the qualitative data could then be categorized, and then we could use it, we could create a readiness criteria and a scale, but we had the whole story as well. So after we categorized. And so it allowed us to really understand the community. So now we can click. So what did we find? What we found in working within this one given community is that there was a shared understanding of both the strengths and vulnerabilities within the community across sectors, whether it be government, healthcare. There was the understanding that poverty, concentrated poverty, marginalization of communities, racism, discrimination. It was mainly the community that we were working with was predominantly Puerto Rican population. But across the board, those were the factors that had come up. At the same time, there was a shared understanding with the issues in the community. There was a real difference between government, healthcare leaders, outreach workers, community grassroots individuals on the solutions, how we should approach them, which is, you know, driven by your discipline. If we think we need more health education program, or do we think we need to really think about community development, economic development? Do we need to be thinking about what type of social outlets are available for families, individuals, for children? But there was still the shared understanding was there, although the disconnect in terms of solutions. We found that there are a number of services, programs, resources within the community, but at the same time, there was a disconnect between communication between service providers and the centralized agreement on what was happening and knowing about what the other one was doing. There was a strong history of partnership among community leaders, not necessarily among agencies, but among community leaders, there was that partnership history. Although one thing that we found was there was a poor track record with outsiders. One woman said it so nicely and said, you know, we're sick and tired of poverty pimps coming in here to take advantage, you know. And I was like, poverty pimps, that's very 70s. You know, I hadn't heard that term before in a while. So, but that whole idea, if you're an outsider thinking about partnering, you need to understand the history of partnerships. And if people come in, if universities come in, have folks researched and then said, okay, that's great, my dissertation is done. Or my project is done. Well, the community's still there, right? And so how do we create that sustainability? And so we critical mass in particular had to really kind of think about partnering. So overall, the community was put in stage two because of the number of initiatives that were happening, because of the awareness of health disparities, the clarity in terms of the issues that were needed in the community. That's where they were located. And conclusions were that Critical Mass, which was a particular organization that was going to be partnering around the toolkit, needed to build on existing infrastructure and to kind of strengthen networks between organizations within the community as well as externally to the community, between the service providers, and also to help understand the roles, because perhaps I, working as a health educator, don't understand the role of a local public health department. And what, you know, if instead of thinking, well, why aren't they doing this, they should be doing that, really, I need to understand what their role is, what their limitations are, because we all report to someone eventually. And then also for the shared decision-making and transparency in terms of really being upfront and honest with what are your goals in working, what's your agenda when you go in to partner with the community? Why are you here? Well, what is it that you want from me is often the question that we heard. Or what is it that you can help to do to support our community? But really being open and honest with communities around those issues. So.